What is it like to do a fellowship? What lessons can be learned from fellow physicians? Who should and who shouldn't pursue a fellowship? Learn the answers to these questions and many more on this episode of the Talk to Me Doc podcast.
Welcome to the Talk to Me Doc podcast, where it's all about serving the early career physician. Let's talk about the unique issues that face us so we can create a better future for ourselves and those to come. And now your host, Dr. Andrew Tisser.
Hey everybody, it's Andrew, and welcome back to the Talk to Me Doc podcast. For my returning listeners, thank you so much. For my new listeners, welcome. Because today, like on every episode, I'm bringing you the best guests from all around healthcare and beyond to discuss issues relating to the early career physician. Today, we're continuing our learner series with a perspective from a fellow physician, Dr. Gina Sparacino. Dr. Sparacino is a gastroenterology fellow at the University of Buffalo. She completed her internal medicine training also at the University of Buffalo, where she served as a chief resident during her third year of training. Dr. Sparacino enjoys teaching and mentoring residents and medical students, as well as embarking on research in various fields of GI, including hepatitis, gastrointestinal bleeding, and most recently, incorporation of GI board preparation into a virtual platform, with a recent presentation during Digestive Disease Week. In her free time, she enjoys spending time with her fiancé, family, and her boxer pup, Bruno. Well, let's get Gina onto the show. Dr. Gina Sparacino, welcome to the Talk to Me Doc podcast.
Hi, Dr. Tisser. Thank you for having me on this podcast. I am extremely excited. I frequently listen to the podcast on my own too. So I am even more excited for that part to be here. But thank you for having me and all the listeners who are tuning in. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. So Gina, I recorded a little bit about you, but could you tell the audience kind of who you are and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Gina Sparacino. I'm currently a gastroenterology fellow at the University of Buffalo. Tomorrow, but who was counting, is my last day of first year of fellowship. And then I'll be going on to my second year of fellowship, or PGY 5 year. I did essentially all of my training in Buffalo. So I'm a Buffalo lifer, is what a lot of people refer to me as. I did my undergraduate education at Canisius College in Buffalo and pursued a bachelor's in biology. I then moved on to medical school at the Jacobs School of Medicine in Buffalo, New York, followed by my residency in internal medicine at the University at Buffalo. And now currently I'm doing my GI fellowship there as well.
Well, the food's pretty good.
The food is fantastic. And we honestly, Andrew, we could do an entire podcast on restaurants in Buffalo, but we can't take away from this podcast. So maybe we'll make it one of the next sessions.
Yeah, it might be a spinoff show, honestly.
Oh, I like that.
So, Gina, we're continuing our learner sessions here. We did a session on a medical student perspective. We did one on a resident perspective. And now I'm having you on the show to really give us an inside look into the world of fellowship. And coming from someone who never did a fellowship, God bless you for those who could do more training. I just want to get a little bit into kind of the motive. I know GI is what you wanted to do with your life, but certainly there comes a time probably in your second year where you really have, of medicine at least, where you have to make that decision as to whether or not you should pursue a fellowship. And right. Maybe you could take us through kind of what made you pull the trigger, so to speak, versus did you have any doubts, et cetera?
Sure, absolutely. And I think, actually, I'll start with the doubts first, since that's the last thing you left me with. I think you really have to be ready to embark on, obviously, more training. So mentally, you have to be prepared. And I think you have to have preparations in order with things in your life. So family, where you're at with your family, maybe family planning and stuff like that. I think a lot of life outside of medicine goes into the planning for or against a fellowship, right? So I think, certainly you have to take that in consideration. Why did I pursue a fellowship? A number of reasons. It's certainly multifactorial. I do love medicine. And the thing about internal medicine that I loved is kind of knowing a little bit about everything. That to me was an attractive part of that field. And it's a necessary part of my field. You have to be board certified and do a residency in internal medicine to move on to gastroenterology. I am very much so a hands-on person. I know the listeners who are tuning in cannot see me, but I talk with my hands. So you're welcome for not being able to see that. But I think I knew at a young age I'd be doing something procedural. I'm just a hands-on person. So that attracted me to the field of GI. I love procedures. The other thing about fellowship, like I said, I loved medicine because you get to be good at everything, or you get to have some sort of baseline knowledge of everything in medicine, but I wanted to be good at one thing, like really good at one thing. So that was my goal. And that is, those are kind of the things that led me to a GI fellowship. So a couple of things that went into play there.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. And do you think there's a person that should not pursue a fellowship? I mean, let's say they're like, yeah, you know, I could do XYZ specialty. They have the credentials to match into whatever they would want. But maybe there's a type of person who shouldn't go for fellowship. Do you think that person exists?
Yeah, I do. And I feel like I've actually come across a lot of those people in my training, especially I served as a chief resident my third year of residency. So I did a lot of almost like mentoring and kind of guiding residents who were a year or two younger than me. And I would always have residents come to me who were like, you know, I want to do a fellowship, but I don't know what I want to do it in. And I kind of would always pose the question like, so why do you want to do fellowship? Sometimes I feel like people feel a little bit of pressure because their peers around them are pursuing fellowships, and they almost feel this pressure to have to pursue one. But when you pose that question, well, what do you want to do, or where do you want to go with it? I think a lot of people start their internal medicine residency. You'll see a lot of interns that start and they're kind of like, yeah, I'm thinking GI or cardiology. Those are two of the more competitive fields out of internal medicine because they feel this pressure to do so. So I really think if you don't have this burning desire to pursue some subspecialty that really speaks to you, it may not be for you. And then, you know, I've seen residents come through my office as a chief and they're like, well, maybe I'll just do a 1 year fellowship just to do a fellowship. If you're kind of in that, you know, that spot where you're thinking of doing a fellowship, quote, just to do one, it might not be for you. I feel like fellowship, certainly my fellowship's 3 years, so it's long. It's just like internal medicine all over again. You know, fellowship, not all fellowships are easy. They're certainly taxing. I definitely felt like in my first year, I almost felt like an intern again in my first year of fellowship with way more responsibility. So it's not a walk in the park. It's definitely taxing, and you got to put your best foot forward, and it's a lot of work. So take that into consideration when you're thinking about a fellowship as well. But if you're kind of up in the air and there's not one field of medicine that you're just dying to pursue, it may not be for you.
Yeah, that's a great point, Gina. And I think some people, I think, are under this false notion that if you subspecialize, you're going to make more money. And that's frankly not true in a lot of them, some of them for sure. But, and also we got to think about the dollar cost of the training, right? So don't forget all the extra years you're not making the attending salary as an offset. So certainly money is probably not the best reason to pursue an extra 1 to 3 to 5 or however many million years of training you crazy people are going after. So you brought up a good point, right? You said that it's kind of like being an intern all over again. So let's talk about the transition, right? So especially yourself, who is a chief resident. So you're at the top of the totem pole, really. And then you come crashing back down to a junior fellow, right? So how does that transition, how does it feel, and how do you navigate it?
Right. It's the many ups and downs of medicine. I feel like every 3 to 4 years, I'm doing the same kind of notion all over again, where you complete some aspect of your training and then you start all over again. And I think that's for all of the listeners who are in medicine. You know, you complete medical school and then you go into your residency, then you're an intern again. And then if you pursue a fellowship, then you're first year again. So it's certainly something that I think you get used to over time when you are in medicine, is this kind of roller coaster ride of being at the top and then you're down again, then you're up at the top. You know, the transition for me might be a little different from someone else who maybe bounced around and trained at different or in different areas or locations. So my training, as I had alluded to in the beginning of the podcast, is all in Buffalo. So I'm certainly lucky in that aspect that I'm comfortable with the hospital systems and the electronic medical records. And I know a lot of the physicians and even some of the gastroenterologists before I pursued my my gastroenterology fellowship. So that was probably one of the more comforting things for me and made the transition a lot smoother. But that being said, you know, you'll find people who stay in one place for their fellowship training kind of wherever you go. And those people can help serve as mentors or a guide. So that was one of the things that I enjoyed doing was, but I was a little lucky, you know, my co-fellows also had trained at the University at Buffalo too, one with me and one year prior to me graduated too. So they kind of had that comfort too, but you tend to start to use that to kind of help guide new incoming fellows and whatnot who maybe don't have that experience that you do or that comfort of staying in one spot. So that's something I like to do is kind of, you know, pass it down and help others out.
Yeah. And I think in that same vein, while you're still certainly have a lot of training ahead of you compared to the incoming residents, you know, you're an attending, right? Practically. Right. So you could be an internal medicine attending if you had any extra time to do so. So I think people seeing that as, you know, well, yeah, I'm junior in my fellowship, but compared to those coming in that were medical students 4 hours ago, you have a lot of teaching that you can impart.
Sure, definitely.
So as far as teaching goes, let's talk a little bit about the, you know, how that feels saying people you graduated residency with going off to being attendings and you continuing your training. Is there, you know, how does that feel, I guess, emotionally and mentally when it comes to, oh man, I got a lot more years ahead of me when people are out there, you know, making the big bucks, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it's a good question. And really, I've never viewed it as daunting or anything like that. I mean, I know it seems like, oh man, I could have just been done after internal medicine and started working and making money and stuff. And it sounds great. But you know, I'm certainly happy with my decision. And I think when you're going through the motions, it seems like it's very slow. But then, you know, I think about it, I'm like, wow, tomorrow is my last day of the first year of fellowship. Man, did that go fast in retrospect. So it's interesting to think of it that way. You know, I have the luxury also of working with a lot of the residents who were in my class who I graduated with. You know, I was their chief and now they're hospitalists and attendings at the hospitals where I'm on service. And their names are popping up on the GI consults. And it's kind of cool. You get to converse back and forth with them. And you guys were training, you know, at one point together. And now they're sending you the consult. So it's a cool experience. And, you know, they actually still benefit from what I've learned in my fellowship just in this short 1 year alone, just by placing a consult. So it's kind of nice. You're kind of passing it forward to maybe some of your colleagues who have chosen to go on and work, but you're kind of passing off the torch and teaching them what you've learned in your fellowship just through consult. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. I never thought of it that way, but I can imagine that's both a unique and a rewarding experience to be able to be dealing with the people you were just, yeah, you were just on service with a few months prior to that, but be able to teach them stuff about your chosen field. You know, in each of these learner sessions thus far, I've talked a little bit about how at every level of training, you can impart wisdom to the new attending, right? Because this show is for early career docs, and the new attending, you'll find out soon enough, is a really scary, crazy time period. You know, it's another one of these transitions where you're done with training, but you haven't really found in your practice yet. So, you know, I think having said what you just said, you know, what do you think is some good advice that you could impart that you've learned so far onto the new attending that hasn't pursued a fellowship or across specialties?
Right. I think one of the biggest pieces of advice that I would give is don't be afraid to even, I don't want to say curbside. A lot of people hate that word, but just to reach out to your colleagues who are the subspecialists or the subspecialty fellows, just to kind of, you know, pick their brain and be able to ask them questions. I highly encourage residents and hospitalist attendings to reach out to me if they have questions about anything. And a lot of them do. Once you once you enable that dialogue and they feel comfortable reaching out to you, it makes for such a good conversation going forward. And it's better for the patients. You know, you feel like the hospitalist can reach out to you. They can pick your brain. They can bounce ideas off of you. They learn and you're teaching. It's just a great experience overall. So I think don't be afraid to reach out to the subspecialist, even if it's just a kind of, you know, pick their brain and ask them for ideas and whatnot. It's going to enhance your own learning in the long run too.
Yeah, it's great that you're doing that already. I think, you know, some of the advice I always give to new attendings is form relationships with the people with the across specialties, with the, not only the people in your department, because it's really helpful to call up, you know, a GI or whatever specialty and be like, hey, Gita, I got this crazy case. Can I run it by you real quick?
Right.
And there's so many situations. I mean, even I still feel like I just graduated from residency, but it's been a few years now. There's plenty of situations where I'll tell you an example. It was last week. I called the cardiologist and I was like, can you help me just think about this? I have no idea.
Like,
they're like, oh, this is a tricky one.
which makes you
feel better, right?
Yes.
But that is such a good point to be able to, as a new attending, just, you know, rely on your fellows if you're at an academic center or on some of your other new attendings across specialties that can really help you out when you're in a bind, because you know they'll be in a bind someday as well. So it really, and I don't think it happens as much anymore. I mean, the doctor's lounge phenomenon is really long since gone, where we would just kind of hang around and talk cases and stuff. But that is, you know, that is a really important part of being a physician nowadays. And I think COVID also took some of that away from us. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox now.
My
show.
This is true. Listen, I'm the guest. I'm honored to be on here. So you go on your soapbox.
Oh, man. So, all right, Gina. So how about the, you know, it's July. Well, this podcast will probably come out in late July. And we've got fresh interns that are maybe, you know, looking at you finishing your PGY four year, and saying, you know, wow, I think I want to do that someday. How do I get myself in a situation to get into X fellowship? Maybe it's not GI, maybe it's something else, but, how do new interns start? Well, first year residents, we can't call them interns anymore. How do new first year residents start thinking about plans when they have a specific specialty in mind?
Yeah, I have a lot of first year residents reach out to me. I think I talked to two already today, just today alone, who want to pursue gastroenterology. But I will allow for anyone to reach out to me, any first year fellow, second year fellow, even if it's not gastroenterology that they want to pursue. If they're just thinking about pursuing fellowship, I'm like, listen, open door policy, text me, email me, whatever. I have a lot of first year fellows who will reach out to me, you know, more often than not gastroenterology, and they'll ask me, well, you know, I'm really nervous because I didn't do any gastroenterology research and blah, blah, blah in med school training and whatnot. Don't worry. All of my research when I was in medical school was orthopedic surgery research when I thought I was going to be an orthopod. So it's never too late. Research is certainly a big thing, especially with some of the competitive fields, gastroenterology, cardiology, rheumatology, and so on. So certainly you're going to want to start, like I said, with the fellows. You can always reach out to the fellows in whatever field that you're thinking about pursuing. We're happy to help. And oftentimes when you reach out to the fellow can act as a liaison between you and some of the faculty in a field that you're thinking of pursuing, kind of making those connections, introducing you, posing an idea for a research project and pulling one of the attendings on. So it's a three person team. You have the first year intern, you have the fellow, and you have the attending as well, forming a team and jumping on some research project together. So you're forming these relationships, you're finding research, which is a big part of your application as well. I've said it a million times, I'll say it again. I really feel that being a strong and a good internist is fundamental to being a good subspecialist. So give it all you've got in your residency. Residency is a lot of what you make of it. If you, you know, put your best foot forward and do your best work, you're going to become a really solid internist, and you have to have that that foundation to be a good subspecialist. Other things to keep in mind, just, you know, staying engaged throughout your training and reading and stuff like that throughout your residency as well. I think we've talked about forming relationships with other specialists and hospitalists in the, you know, in the hospital or wherever you work as well is a good idea. So I think some of those things are very important when you're thinking of pursuing a fellowship.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's great advice. And certainly doing the best you can in residency will provide for a long career one way or the other, but certainly gets you noticed. And it's very easy to fly under the radar in residency if that's what you want to do. Seeking out opportunities where you can find them. And I know you certainly sought out plenty of opportunities in your residency. So Gina, we're running out of time. I just want to shift the show a little bit to get to know you as well. I know you pretty well. Let the audience get to know you a little bit better. With all your free time, what do you like to do for fun?
All my free time. Literally, I feel like in the free time that I have, if it exists right now, I'm doing mostly wedding planning. So I'm getting married in November, which I'm really looking forward to, but that is what I do a lot of. I do really, really love spending time with my fiance, our dog, who's essentially like our child. His name's Bruno. Purebred boxer. He's the best. So we love to do things with him. I am a very outdoorsy person. So kayaking, hiking, you name it, I'm there for it. I would be lying if I said retail therapy wasn't top of the list in some of my free time, but you know, I'll just throw that in there at the end.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. You know, well, that sounds good. And Buffalo certainly has enough outdoorsy activities to keep you busy. So we're just going to keep plugging the city. I don't care.
Exactly. And for all of the listeners, if you have questions about training in Buffalo, reach out to me. I love this place. I loved all of my training. It's great. So,
yeah, I hear the program director is pretty good for the medicine program too.
Listen, this is five podcasts in one. Putting her on the pedestal that I do. So don't even get me started.
Oh, man. Well, for the listeners, my lovely wife, Dr. Kwiatkowski, is the internal medicine program director for the University of Buffalo, and stay tuned for her episode. But Gina, you know, we'll have to do another episode just singing her praises, I suppose.
Highlighting her. Listen, she's Dr. Goals, but okay. We'll do that in the Dr. Kwiatkowski praise session.
Oh, man. Gina, do you have a book recommendation for the listeners?
Ooh, I feel like, Andrew, my books are so boring that I read. I will say, if there's any budding gastroenterologists, at my bedside right now on my nightstand, I have Yamada's Handbook of Gastroenterology. I'm just highlighting myself as the nerd that I am. Mm-hmm. And Practical Gastrointestinal Endoscopy. So those are my two go-tos. Those are my GI Bibles that I refer to. But I will say, the last session that I tuned in for, the last Dr. Tisser podcast, was Dr. Frey's podcast, the last one. I think it was session 111, which was phenomenal. So I'm trying to be more astute about finances on my own. I feel like, you know, one of the things as young professionals and doctors and stuff that we never get enough teaching on is like managing finances and stuff. So I'm trying to be better about it. And then of course, Talk to Me Doc podcast releases a session on like beginner finances, which was perfect. So I tuned in for that. And I ordered a book from the show notes and the podcast that was the recommendation. And my fiance is like, did you order something from Amazon? Cause the garage door just opened. I'm like, yeah, it's my book. Just let it go. And he's like, why do you have a book on a millionaire? So I am reading now The Millionaire Next Door from Dr. Frey's recommendations. I kid you not.
Hey, that's a great book. So good choice. And if you didn't listen to the podcast episode 111 with Dr. Jordan Frey, it was fire.
It was like every doctor, every budding doctor, every young professional should absolutely tune in. It was like finance 101 for those who have no understanding of finance.
And that's what we wanted. We wanted it to be about an episode for people who don't want to learn all the nitty gritty, right?
Yeah, I wanted it in a concise, like 35-minute clip. And wow, I got that.
Well, thank you for the plug. And you've given us a lot of advice on the show so far, but if you could boil your advice down to a single piece of advice for the early career physician, what would that be?
Oh, my best piece of advice, the early career physician. You know, honor your life and your interests outside of medicine. Make sure that you always prioritize those. It will be the absolute key to combating or preventing burnout. Is if you love to kayak, you make sure you kayak, even if it's once a month, once every 2 months, whatever. Make sure that you make time for the things that you love outside of medicine. I promise you it'll pay off.
Great advice, and something I subscribe to myself. So it's if you lose yourself in training, there's no way to be a good doctor. So yeah, honor what matters for you, even if it's just for a few minutes. So
right.
That's wonderful advice. So if people have questions or want to learn more about GI or Buffalo or anything, how can they contact you?
Oh, I encourage it. So email, even text message, I don't care. Reach out to me. I would love to talk to you, meet with you, answer any questions you might have. I'll go with email. Email is the best. Andrew, if you want to leave my email in the show notes, you know, I could leave it here, whatever works.
Sure. Why don't you say it here and we'll put it in the show notes so people can reference it.
Beautiful. It's ginaspare@buffalo.edu. That's G-I-N-A, like my first name, S-P-A-R, like the first four of my last name, @buffalo.edu.
Wonderful. Gina, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us here about fellowship and giving us the great advice and really just wonderful things you had to say on the show. I appreciate it, and I'm sure all the listeners do as well.
Well, thank you, Andrew. The pleasure was all mine, really.
And go Buffalo.
Go Bills.
What a fantastic episode with Dr. Gina Sparacino. I really enjoyed having the perspective of a fellow in training on the show. As someone who never completed a fellowship, it is an interesting perspective, and we certainly have a lot to learn. Thank you again for listening. If you enjoyed this show, please leave me an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps get the show out there. Also, please share it with at least two of your friends or colleagues. The other thing I'd like you to do after listening is listen to Gina's advice on the show and take some time for the things you really enjoy and have interest in, even if it's just 5 to 10 minutes. It really helps get back to who you are as a person. Thank you again for listening, and until next time, everybody, keep talking.